Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear an album track by a New Jersey-based rock band whose members pooled their money and, at their own expense, entered a famous and expensive recording studio in New York, intending to make half an album in order to entice a major label to sign them and finish it. Their plan basically worked. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will present an early 60s jazz classic called Song for My Father that contains a piano riff that has made an impact far beyond the hard bop jazz audience that originally appreciated it. Later, we will examine a hard-hitting blues rock track by the legendary former lead guitarist of Procol Harum. For this pile driver, the guitar hero enlisted some keyboard help from another musical legend, the late master of the electric piano and organ that was name-checked by a close friend of his on one of the biggest-selling live albums of all time. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we blur the line between reality and make-believe with a selection that only existed to fulfill the role of telling the story about a hit record. But the real songwriter behind the song and the real vocalist who sang that song came up with a snappy single that just so happened to really and truly be a perfect record. But first, just as we do each week, we start up the tracks with a single that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak, and then the ride was over. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we step right up with a selection that was co-written by 7 different musicians. As the song started to receive airplay in the 70s, urban legends began to develop around a high-pitched scream during the instrumental break in the record. One version of this myth involved the model on the cover of the album, which was called Honey. According to that version, the beautiful model was badly burned by the hot honey that covered her body, and her scream was captured on tape. Another version claimed that a background singer for the group was murdered in the recording studio. However, co-writer and band member Jimmy Diamond Williams debunked the myth, saying, quote, "There is a part in the song where there's a breakdown. It's guitars and it's right before the second verse, and Billy Beck does one of those inhaling-type screeches. A DJ made this crack and it swept the country. People were asking us, 'Did you kill this girl in the studio?' The band took a vow of silence because you sell more records that way."
Don't you ride, yeah.
spending a week at number 40 in Cashbox, on its way up to number 1 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World, and number 2 in Canada. Those were the Ohio Players and their classic funk single, Love Roller Coaster.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
At number 20, we have an album track from the debut effort by The Smithereens, produced for the Enigma label by Don Dixon, a producer who was credited along with Mitch Easter as a machinist for the REM album Reckoning. With a more traditional credit as producer, he gave The Smithereens a boost in the mid-80s. Dixon's name and reputation helped The Smithereens gather some momentum around that first album of theirs, and it reached number 51 in the United States and shot up to number 5 on the British Indie Album Chart. Hailing from New Jersey, the Smithereens were a mainstay at the New York club Kenny's Castaways during the early 80s. In the spring of 1985, the band recorded 5 songs on their own at the record plant in New York, hoping that the results would land them a deal with a major label. Ultimately, they were rejected by every single label out there except for Enigma, who signed them with the idea of using what they already heard and sending them back into the same studio with Dixon to complete the album from there. Then, in a move that was beneficial to the Smithereens, as well as to label mates Poison and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Enigma Records secured a distribution deal with Capitol. Track that should have been released as a single by the Enigma Capitol Group, those were the Smithereens and Listen to Me Girl, a Pat D'Annunzio composition that seemed to mix the Tex-Mex sound of the Crickets with the British invasion punch of the Beatles.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have a song that really was, at some point during its chart life, perched at number 11 on the Cashbox survey. It's a classic song that has received consistent airplay from the moment it was released. When Bob Keane, owner of Delphi Records, signed the Bobby Fuller Four, he knew he had an immediate hit with the song I Fought the Law. Sadly, while the song was still considered a hot record, the 23-year-old Bobby Fuller was found dead in his mother's vehicle in Los Angeles. His death has never adequately been explained. Some believe that he was murdered, although the coroner's reports indicated a possible suicide or accident. Beside each of those words, though, was a conspicuous question mark.
I'm breaking rocks in the hot sun. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law.
peaking at number 11 in Canada and spending a week at number 11 on its way to a peak of number 9 in the United States. That was the Bobby Fuller Four and their version of the Sonny Curtis composition, I Fought the Law.
Number 10.
Now we are up to number 10. It is a recording by The Clash that happened only because the owner of a San Francisco recording studio collected jukeboxes and had them filled with classic singles. Back in 1978, Joe Strummer and Mick Jones of The Clash were doing some work in the Automat recording studio in San Francisco. The owner of that studio, David Rubinson, was an avid jukebox collector, storing some of his prized possessions right there in the studio offices. While Strummer and Jones were on a break from their sessions, they started listening to some records on one of Rubinson's jukeboxes. The record that really grabbed their attention was the song we just heard at number 11, I Fought the Law by the Bobby Fuller Four. Neither of them had ever heard it before. After numerous listens, they decided that it was perfect for The Clash. We totally agree.
Breaking rocks in a hot sun, I fought the law in a low one. I fought the law in a low one. I needed money, God, I had none. I fought the law in a law one, I fought the law and I, the law one. I left my baby and it feels so bad. I guess my race is run. She's the best girl that I ever had. I fought the law and I, the law one. I fought the law and I.
Fought the Law, the Sonny Curtis song made famous by Bobby Fuller. That was the four-man British punk band The Clash, who included the song on their first full-length album. That album was named the number two punk album of all time by Mojo Magazine, the number three most essential punk record ever by Spin Magazine, and, most impressively, the number three album of all time by the New Musical Express.
Number 9.
At number 9, we have a popular album track from Tracy Chapman, included on her Crossroads album, a release that actually peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Top 200 album chart back in 1989. On this particular selection, Tracy plays electric guitar instead of her customary acoustic. Helping on the other instruments were Danny Fongheiser on drums, Larry Klein on bass, Tim Landers on guitar, and, unexpectedly jumping from his normal spot on guitar over to banjo, that's right, the ever-present Jack Holder.
Put him in jail and they kept him there, hoping soon he'd die. That his body and spirit would waste away, and soon after that his mind. But every day he's born a fool. one who thinks that he can rule, one who says tomorrow's mine, one who wakes one day to find the prison doors open, the shackles broken, and chaos in the street. Everybody sing with free, 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 free. Everybody sing with free, 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 free. Everybody sing with free, 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 free. Oh, they throw him in jail and they kept him there, hoping his memory died. Let the people forget how he once led, fought for justice in their lives. Every day, morning man hates what he can't understand. Thinks the answer is to kill. Thinks his actions are God's will. And he thinks he's free, 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 free. Yes, he thinks he's free, 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 free. Oh, he thinks he's free, 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 free. Soon must come the day, oh, when the righteous have their way, just to try to free, oh, people live in peace, I say. Give the man release, oh, go on and set your conscience free. Right the wrongs you made, oh, even a fool can have his day. Let us all be free, 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 free. Let us all be free, 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 free. Let us all be free, 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 free. Free our bodies, free our minds, our hearts, freedom for everyone, freedom now.
At number 9 with a non-single track from an album that really did reach number 9, that was Tracy Chapman and a song that received spins on WLYX in Memphis, KDHX St. Louis, and KCRW in Los Angeles, Freedom Now.
Alt Universe Top 40!
Auden and Gray should have reached number 8.
Now we have an album track that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is by a popular alternative rock act that originated in Las Vegas. Childhood friends Brendan Urie, Ryan Ross, Spencer Smith, and Brent Wilson started the band Panic at the Disco in 2004 by making demos while they were in high school. By the following year, their debut album had been released. Seemingly out of nowhere, they were an immediate success, with the debut achieving triple platinum status by 2006. During the recording sessions for the follow-up, 2008's Pretty Odd, the group drew upon influences from 60s groups, with the results being obvious in my favorite track from their second album, Behind the Sea.
A daydream spills from my cork head, breaks free of my wooden nail, left to nod over sleeping waves like bobbing bait for bathing. They say, so are magic.
to God.
With a selection that was modern and great and should have reached number 8. That was the alternative rock act Panic at the Disco and Behind the Sea, a song that, when I first heard it, sounded to me like Brian Wilson producing The Zombies recording a John Lennon composition.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. It is a classic hard bop jazz recording that has seen its influence far exceed the audience that first appreciated it. Horace Ward Martin Tavares Silver was born on September 2, 1928 in Norwalk, Connecticut, to a mother that sang in a church choir and an immigrant father who came to the United States from Cape Verde. Although Horace's father spent a great deal of time working at a tire company, he took the time to educate Horace about the folk music and history of Cape Verde. At a young age, Horace showed an interest in music, and his parents made arrangements for him to study classical music. In the school band, Horace played saxophone, which he loved. However, it was discovered that he had a severely curved spine, which hindered his saxophone playing. That curved spine of his also caused him to be rejected by the military. In 1946, at the age of 18, Horace moved to Hartford, Connecticut, and began playing piano in various nightclubs there. By 1950, Horace's trio backed Stan Getz, which led to touring work. Then, Horace was able to get into the recording studio, continuing to back Getz. As he was heard by more players, Horace began freelance work in the New York recording studios, backing Sonny Stitt, Miles Davis, and Al Cohn. In 1954, Horace was recognized with an award from Downbeat magazine, and shortly thereafter, he, Art Blakely, and other musicians co-founded the Jazz Messengers. While enormously successful, Horace left after only 2 years, primarily to get away from some of the problematic habits by several of the players. He formed a quintet, arranging and writing their music. That quintet made numerous records, many of which are still played today on streaming services and satellite jazz channels. One of his incredibly famous compositions, Song for My Father, began with a simple riff that has lived on outside jazz circles after Donald Fagen of Steely Dan incorporated that riff into a progressive rock classic.
We'll be right back.
with Our Little Slice of Heaven at number 7. That was jazz legend Horace Silver and his classic composition that is destined to live on forever, Song for My Father. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Martine from Madrid heard our 6070 kilohertz broadcast on a web SDR out of the Netherlands. He reports 55444, stating that transmission overall was good. He called listening to the show a pleasure. Well, Martine, we send you our best, and we hope that you continue to have good reception. Andrew from New York heard our 9395 kilohertz broadcast on WRMI. He reports 54444 and states that he loves the program. Well, Andrew, you have certainly made us happy with your remarks. We hope that you can find us again and that you continue to enjoy the show. Angli, a DJ from Estonia, sent us a message on Mixcloud. She says, hey, and says she hopes we have a great weekend. Well, Angli, we wish you the best of luck in your music career, and we send a shout out to you and all of our listeners in Estonia. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. This amazing guitarist, formerly with Procol Harum, has certainly done that. When Robin Trower released his 14th studio album, In the Line of Fire, he augmented his sound a little with former Peter Frampton cohort Bob Mayo playing keyboards. You may remember Bob Mayo's name from the mid-song credit he received during Do You Feel Like We Do from Frampton Comes Alive.
Say what you want.
Been released as a single and should have reached number 6 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Radio and Records. That was legendary guitarist Robin Trower, and I Would Still Be Here For You.
Dave.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Back in May of 1980, the band 2020 appeared on American Bandstand. As Dick Clark held up a copy of their debut album while introducing them, he announced to the world that 1980 was going to be 2020's year. Amid lots of studio applause, the band looked like the perfect new wave rock band on television as they did a fantastic job lip-syncing the songs Remember the Lightning and our selection at number 5 today, Yellow Pills. I was 16 years old on that day, completely glued to the TV. I loved every single track on 2020's debut album from the moment I first placed the vinyl on the turntable. I still love every single track on that album 40 years later. But, apparently, my tastes were not aligned to the world at that point. 1980 did not become 2020's year. In fact, they never had a year where they made the kind of splash that Portrait Records expected. They never came up with the next My Sharona. Regardless of their chart status, this band had the guitar guts of the Heartbreakers combined with the keyboard prowess of the Cars. That was not necessarily a common set of features for modern rock acts at the time. That musical excellence caught the attention of famed disc jockey Rodney Bingenheimer. Rodney gave it lots of spins on KROQ in Los Angeles and turned it into a citywide new wave rock anthem.
Your eyes when you pray.
with a classic selection that should have reached number 5 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. That was 2020, and the anthem that was supposed to make 1980 their year, Yellow Pills.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to number 4, which means that we are going to play a song that charted significantly better in England than it did in the United States, where it peaked at number 23. This selection really did hit number 4 on the UK singles charts, but did even better in Australia, Belgium, Ireland, and South Africa, reaching number 2 in those 4 countries. While the lyrics to this song basically follow the narrator through a midlife crisis, music fans from the 80s recall the song's humorous video, which was conceived in part by Lorne Michaels and directed by Gary Weiss. In this famous clip, the recording artist mimes playing a penny whistle solo, which was, in reality, played by jazz musician Morris Goldberg. He mimes a bass solo that was actually the work of Bakithi Kumalo, and he continues his miming with some percussion that was, in the studio, played by Ralph McDonald. We will have more on Ralph in just a minute. While the artist wrote the lyrics and sang the song, in the video, he is not the person lip-syncing the lead vocal. That honor went to Chevy Chase.
A man walks down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot at redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Melly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me out, call me out.
Na 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 na
with You Can Call Me Al, a single that hit number 4 in England and number 23 in the United States. That was Paul Simon, who got some help from Chevy Chase and Lorne Michaels for the video, and got help in the studio from jazz musicians Bakithi Kumalo, Morris Goldberg, and Ralph McDonald.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown. And today we're talking about downtown Hialeah, Florida, home of Henry Stone's rhythmic record label, TK. While competing label president Robert Stigwood was putting together a soundtrack album for a movie based on a magazine article in The New Yorker, Stigwood and his RSO record company borrowed 2 recording acts from Henry Stone's TK group of labels to each contribute a track to that project. Unbelievably, that soundtrack album spent 24 consecutive weeks in the number 1 position on the album charts in the United States. With that statistic in mind, we must be referring to that cultural phenomenon known as Saturday Night Fever. So, who were those TK artists with tracks on RSO's Saturday Night Fever soundtrack? Well, one was the guy who really played percussion on the song we just heard at number 4, You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon. He is a world-class percussionist who has also made a number of records as a solo jazz artist. Back in the days of disco, some of his jazz music crossed over into disco territory. One of those crossovers was his classic instrumental, Calypso Breakdown, the closing track on side 2 of the soundtrack's double album. Of course, we're talking about Ralph McDonald. The other TK artist with a song in the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack was everyone's favorite Florida-based boogeyman, Harry Wayne Casey, known to the world along with his Sunshine Band as KC. You will recall that Boogie Shoes, the B-side to his number 1 hit Shake Your Booty, ended up in the movie and on the soundtrack album. Well, now at number 3, we have another KC flip side, a song that was on the B-side to the number 1 British single from the 80s, Give It Up. I first heard this track at a club called the Broadway Oyster Bar in St. Louis after a Cardinal baseball game sometime during the 1984 season. Not really sure why I remember that, but nevertheless, here is KC along with his Sunshine Band and Too Hard to Say Goodbye. With our 3 from way downtown, that was KC and the Sunshine Band from Hialeah, Florida, and Too Hard to Say Goodbye.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number
2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a selection that should have hit number 1. It was the most successful single the jazz-influenced rock act known as Steely Dan ever released, reaching number 5 in Record World, number 4 in Billboard, number 3 in Cashbox, and number 3 in Canada. The first few bars of this record's intro should sound familiar, as the group basically copied the two-note piano motif that was first a hook in our little slice of heaven at number 7, Song for My Father by Horace Silver.
We hear you're leaving, that's okay. I thought our little wild time had just begun. I guess you kinda scared yourself, you turn and run. But if you have a change of heart, Ricky, don't lose that number. You don't wanna call nobody else. Send it off in a letter to yourself.
Number 2 with a song that should have hit number 1. That was Steely Dan and a little nod to Horace Silver and Ricky Don't Lose That Number. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number 1. It has a unique history in that it actually became popular following its inclusion in a motion picture that was, in essence, a story about a record, a fictional record, by a fictional four-man rock act. The movie, That Thing You Do, told the story of the Wonders, those one-hit wonders from Erie, Pennsylvania, who, thanks to the catchy drum beat and tempo of Tom Everett Scott's fictional character Guy Patterson, cooked up all the right ingredients to have a hit single. In one of the most joyous scenes I have ever watched in any movie, Liv Tyler's character, Faye, runs down the main street of Erie, Pennsylvania, with her transistor radio in hand, giddy with excitement to hear the Wonders on the radio. That three-minute segment brings a smile to everyone who sees it. The song itself was composed by Adam Schlesinger, who, sadly, recently passed away due to complications of COVID-19. Adam was a member of the group Fountains of Wayne, who, like the Wonders, had one massive hit with the song Stacy's Mom. There is a high degree of certainty, by the way, that we will play that one during the summer months. In the movie, That Thing You Do, the character of Jimmy Mattingly wrote the song as a slow ballad and is shown arguing against Guy's beat, which happened to be the very thing that made the song work. Jimmy is shown throughout the movie singing lead on the song, while the real vocals were, in fact, provided by vocalist and producer Mike Viola, who really immersed himself into the up-tempo American version of Mercy Beat and made the sound of 1964 his own. By the way, one of the many acts produced by Mike Viola is Panic at the Disco, who we heard earlier at number 8. While the music of the Wonders was certainly not as complicated as the jazz that the fictional character of Guy Patterson really wanted to play, let's enjoy his drum beat once again and give one more listen to the hit that never was until it was, That Thing You Do. Perfection track at number 1 this week was That Thing You Do by The Wonders, with a W, as in, I wonder what happened to the Oneaters. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email address to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.